Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day and tuning in. General at your service, at ease. There's Broadus, former Cowboy Scout Super Bowl champion. He's back. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75-6, 35, fixing to go 4 flawless. Reading up the Rangers pregame show here coming up at 6. They're going to look for a fifth in a row. You do have Eric Chiafalo in the house, and you have Zach Wolchuk. Aiden Butler is still out, you know, so hope he's making the most of his time off. Send him some love on social. Let him know that he has missed. Welcome back, Brian. How the hell are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much, Dawson. I appreciate you guys helping me out, as you always do. I could see the studio. My dad had to go over to Medical City, and really appreciate all the nurses and doctors over there. And we got, he was with a low blood pressure, low heart rate and all that. And just a very talented crew over there. And we've got things straight. He should be going home tomorrow. I think he might be listening right now.
Salute.
But yeah, I could see our building. So it was I was just met with a doctor about 10 minutes ago, and now here I am.
Is he listening? Is Doc listening?
Dr. Johnson is a wonderful. It's so funny. Dr. Johnson came in yesterday, and he was he looked at me. And he goes, Brian Broadus. I goes, I listen to you and Vach Lombardi every day, and I said, you're my kind of doctor. So. So yeah, it's nice to have such talented people. But again, I can't thank you guys enough, and you know, Gavin Spittle and Tim for kind of let me do what I need to do to kind of get stuff situated. But I appreciate everybody here.
Great to have you back, man.
Thank you, man.
We did miss you, but we definitely understand some things take precedent.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, congrats to the Texas Rangers. Thanks to them for not only winning, but for booking us Ezekiel Duran, who's coming up in the Rangers player show at 3:20. The man has been a savior 2 out of the last 3 games. The walk-off slapper into right field. A little bit of a flare, more of a flare than a slapper. But Saturday night, he had the walk-off against the Royals, and then last night had 3 hits and 4 at-bats, a double, an RBI, and a 2-1 win over the Cards. So, yeah, looking forward to chatting with Zeke, the new Zeke, coming up at 3:20, the player show.
Your Rangers player of the month there for the month of May, and well-deserved. I know during the pregame show yesterday, Skip Schumacher was talking about, that also could have gone to Josh Young, but I think clearly Ezekiel Duran, what he's done and playing every day, seems like it's really made the difference for Zeke.
Yeah.
We had a lot of questions about that, right? Didn't we have questions about him playing every day?
The last time he played this well, Seager was hurt, and it was 2023, and he has to fill in, and he played like an all-star the first half of the season.
Yeah, and his level of play by the end was going down, but man, he looks like a different guy at the plate. It used to be you could throw that sweeper, and it was in the left side of the batter's box, and he was swinging at it and stuff.
Yeah. So his chase rate was horrible.
He just seems like he is every pitch that's thrown to him, it's good contact. He's hitting the ball hard. He's hitting it in gaps. And defensively, he's played outfield. He's played infield. He's done a little bit of everything. So, well-deserved the player of the month, and hopefully he'll transfer this into more wins.
Yeah, when Seager does come back, I think, gives you a great
Seager
option.
Then.
He gives you a great option at second base, or maybe Seager can use a couple more days off. We'll have to see how he performs.
Binge player, that kind of thing.
But tight squeeze, 2-1 the final. Cool to see the bullpen get the dub. As CY told us yesterday, it's great when you have the lead in these late-game situations because you're using your pitchers to close the game out, and that paid off for the Rangers once again. And Jacob deGrom picked up his 100th win.
Yeah, that was great, though.
He's sitting on it for, and I specifically did not mention it yesterday at all, because I had teased it during Around the Bases the last 3 times, and it's been L's. So hopefully not putting it out there, he finally got it.
Well, a good job by him, and to keep, and that's a pretty good Cardinal lineup there that he was having to face. Tip the cap to Lats as well, back-to-back nights of getting saves. So,
unofficial closer now.
Yeah, there we go. You know, when you get him in the game, you're going to get the opportunity to save it, or if he has to pitch middle innings. I mean, you at least get you can maybe get a 4-out save with this guy, 5-out save. You maybe 2 innings out of him the way that he's conditioned himself to pitch.
So just as last week we were talking about how these starters were maybe starting to show that they weren't going to be able to follow up last year, they now have gone 27 innings without giving up a run from their starting rotation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we'll make it an official full trip through tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Have they ever gone a full trip through the rotation without giving up a run? I would doubt it. I doubt many organizations have done that, but that's the opportunity that sits in front of them this evening with the pregame coming up at 6 o'clock. They're two games back of 500. Jock Peterson, game-winning ribby. Nicky Lopez, 2-for-4. You can talk a lot about CY not finding hitters, but this guy Lopez has been a big part of the streak since they picked him up late last week. I think he's got 3 or 4 multi-hit games for the Rangers already.
Yeah, I think he's got 2 or 3 now over the last 3 games. And so your record right now, the longest scoreless streaks by the starting rotation between the Washington and Texas franchise combined, you got to go back to 81, 35 and a third innings. So that's okay. That would be the record. If they can get to 35 and two-thirds innings tonight with Evo, which is, I mean, hey, that would probably bleed into the following game, I would say, to be able to accomplish this. But
probably.
They can get into second place, which is at 30 and a third. So I think Evo could accomplish that tonight.
So pretty cool chance tonight if you're a Rough Riders fan or you're looking for something to do before it gets too damn hot. Seager and Lankford and Frisco.
Pretty cool.
So you know, and we talked with CY about this yesterday, and I said, is it possible if things go well Tuesday night, we could see him in the big leagues on Wednesday? And he said no, but he can't rule out this weekend, depending on how things go with the Cleveland Guardians series coming up. Okay, what do you guys think of the idea that Jared Verse is like a pressure merchant and the Rams know that the real currency for pass rushers is sacks? Is that a thing you think? Or if you keep laying down pressures, are you going to get sacks? You know, how do you look at the whole sacks versus pressures thing? Because I think that's really at the core of the debate. Jared Verse is like top 5 pressure since he stepped into the league. Not that far behind Myles Garrett, but Garrett closes and finishes the deal. How much of a differentiating factor is that for you when you're evaluating edges?
I think with these two players, Verse is a power guy, whereas Myles Garrett has way more speed to his game. So I think some of it's about like quick pressure, right? So how fast can you win? I think Jared Verse is a bull rush savant. That's kind of like his best attribute as a rusher, where Myles Garrett, you'll see kind of like, it's almost like that Euro step translating from basketball, where he's going to go and weave around and kind of stunt over. Or, I mean, he can stand up, he can put his hand in the ground, but he can just win quickly to where, I mean, there was a play going viral in that Green Bay game where he beats the right tackle so clean, the tackle doesn't even get hands on him, and he just turns around and he's yelling, Jordan, run! Jordan, Jordan, run! Like, he's going so, I mean, he closes so quickly, so I do think that's probably what is the gap between, like, you're a really good edge rusher to the greats, and Myles Garrett, because of his closing speed, is elite. I don't know that there's any others. I mean, you can go back to like the Reggie Whites, the Bruce Smiths, like the all-time great pass rushers that had that ability.
I mean, to me, Verse, at this point in his contract, he's worth 2 ones. And then you give him 1, 2, and 3. It's like you really got to believe that extra that Myles Garrett gives you is going to be the difference. And, you know, as good as he is, Cleveland hasn't been able to have any real team success with him.
Do you guys feel like, though, that there's been a lot of these edge rushers that have been moved? All the top ones have been moved. Do you think people now are saying, I don't want to spend $40 million? Because every year, as a unit, we evaluate more edge rushers. Seems like that, you know, well, I've got 6 guys in the second round. I've got, you know, 8 guys in the third round. You know, and all these guys tend to, like, end up on teams. I wonder if we're to the point now, because all these teams are moving these edges, is defensive tackle play becoming more important because of how quickly you can get to the quarterback through the middle? Because we're starting to see tackles getting paid. I mean, defensive tackles. We're starting to see people spend money and draft capital on centers and guards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, are we going away from the edge being it used to be? Well, it's the quarterback. It's the guy getting the quarterback on the ground. That used to be the way you built your team. Why all of a sudden are we getting rid of the best pass rushers in the league? You know, we're just trading them away. Do we not want to pay him $40 million? That could be something that's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, the money's gotten huge at the position, so that's something. And then you're also seeing the teams that aren't a $40 million edge rusher away from a Super Bowl being willing to move on from him.
Yeah.
It's the good teams that feel like they're ready to rock and roll that are trying to acquire those guys. They're still extremely valuable. But why would I pay a guy $40 million when I'm going to go out there and be the Cleveland Browns? And just, I'm going to win four games this year.
Right.
Five games this year. What's the point of paying him $40 million? But I'm the Rams. I want a Super Bowl. I want Myles Garrett. I'm the Ravens. I want a Super Bowl. I want Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson. I'm the Packers. I think I'm actually pretty good. I have a chance to contend. I want Micah Parsons. So the good teams still want him.
Yeah.
But their price is so much now that what's the point of having that? If you're almost paying quarterback money for
when
you're a four-win team.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to
do
that.
I don't think those players are worth it. I'm with you. It's not to say they're not great players and difference makers. Like, you still want a great edge rusher if you can get one, but I think you're right. I think the immediate pressure right up the middle, and that goes back to like Brady in those Super Bowls against the Giants. Like, it's Justin Tuck. It's those guys in the middle that were really wreaking havoc in those games. You look at the Chris Jones, the Aaron Donalds, like these elite defensive tackles. Those are the difference makers to having these teams in Super Bowls right now. It's not that the Von Millers and the 2015 Broncos didn't matter. They did. But I do think there's something to be said about that. It's hard to find those elite interior rushers that are also good against the run. The Cowboys finally got that guy in Quinnen Williams, which I don't know that we appreciate enough just yet, that they finally are able to have evaluated and got that guy on that team. Because I think it's been harder to find those guys than it has to been find some of these elite edge rushers.
I also think, I mean, those are all great points. I also think that the thing that Cleveland and the Cowboys have in common is they needed a lot of other answers elsewhere on their roster. And if they just continue on the path of paying Micah, they're not going to have the resources to fix all of their other positions. And Cleveland, with Deshaun Watson's contract sitting there, you add Myles Garrett to it, we're stuck here in quicksand. We know what these guys are going to add up to. And the Cowboys knew what this defensive group plus Micah Parsons would add up to was not going to be enough. So it's an acknowledgement, but I do think it's a luxury type of thing that Green Bay found themselves in. We're close. We need to get over the top. We can't rush the passer well enough.
Right.
And then, you know, the Rams find themselves in a situation as well. But I don't think the model for the future is locking down and marrying an edge for the next 8 years and having him make this insane amount of money, because it's going to start picking off the rest of your roster as we've seen with Green Bay, having to let guys like Jenkins and Dobbs go and Kenny Clark go and Rashawn Gary. Yeah. Like, the Cowboys, I think we're on it, you know, and it's cool because it's another example of how they might be in line with a trend that is happening in real time, not 5 years late. They were 8 years late to the offensive motion party, maybe more. Mm-hmm. They might have been 9 years late. But here we have the nickel corner thing, and then instead of paying an edge, you might want to get five good defensive players instead, especially if your defense is broken. Now, if you're one player away from winning a Super Bowl and maybe having the best team, I can bring an edge in for a year or two.
Yeah, now all of a sudden I'm willing to pay that guy $40 million and give up multiple premium picks for it.
Yeah.
So there's still a ton of value in that guy.
A ton. Okay, we're coming back with the champ and Woolchuck's top 10. Buddy, what is the subject today?
Happy National Rotisserie Chicken Day. Okay, I've got the top 10 best go-to ready-to-eat meals in grocery stores. That's next in the nation.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has your champ.
All right, this piece of audio will be going for two today at 5:30, so stick around for that. How you doing, Mr. Broadus?
I'm doing well, Lucius.
Yes,
thank you for asking.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You, man.
It comes from the Fan After Dark. Blake and Fred. Blake and his old lady, they were fawning over an athlete's body. They were fawning over his body. Sure was. Happy Pride Month.
I would have liked to have gone out and gotten Rasmus versus getting Myers, who is a 36-year-old, huge body, and he had some good gains. But, man, like, there's just things that defensively—
Myers is big.
We weren't doing.
I saw it in person. I saw him in person.
I believe you.
Yeah. It was like, wow. I didn't know someone could be that big on the ice. Tyler Myers, he's 6'8".
Even in the cold?
Yeah, it was cold and it still was that.
You were impressed.
I was impressed. Me and my girlfriend, we were just standing there. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
I didn't know. Were you sitting in the corner or what?
No, we both our jaws were on the ground. Yeah, was,
oh, wow.
Were you sitting in the corner?
I wasn't
what?
Just watching, bro.
I was actively participating.
I didn't think you'd be able to tell in that hockey outfit.
Yeah, you know? A little tight.
Is it tight? I didn't know that. Yeah. Surprise for me. You learn something new every day.
Well.
Fan After Dark, Fred and Blake. They'll probably be back, what, Thursday night? We get a Rangers off day coming up Thursday?
I believe Thursday will be a full show. Now, CA was listening during that, texted me and said, this is crazy but true. NHL's Tyler Myers is half-brothers with former Maven 76er Quentin Grimes. So they must have the same mother.
Okay.
So he might be packing.
Okay. All right. It sounds like something. What? Thanks for getting to the bottom of this.
What are we
Chuck.
Doing?
What? Yeah.
And, you know?
You might be. Man, come on, fam.
Not sure what happened, but I do know it's time for Warchuck's Top 10 at 220.
He's a large and in charge in the video.
Are you back into that triple espresso?
Yeah, I actually just crushed it.
You got an HR file as a result last time you did it.
Oh, no, are you kidding me? They said, keep that up. He's, we like
he's
that.
He's doubling down on his takes.
It goes straight down with... what do you think? The ratings are up and up, bro. The more controversial, the better. It is a Toxic Tuesday, after all. Shout out to Texas Tech.
Wreck 'em.
Yep, man, they got it done. Mia Williams with the walk-off home run to force game two last night. Then they shut out Alabama. So we get a rematch, Texas versus Texas Tech, a Lone Star State showdown tomorrow.
This is what we wanted all along, right?
This is
what Joey McGuire and they were talking about,
We wanted this in football, but we're getting it in softball, baby.
I thought it was softball. Woo! I thought it was women's softball we were trying to get this done.
Well, I will say, I think Tech's got a better chance here in softball to get the dub than they do in football if we end up getting that week one matchup.
Tip of the cap, to go and win two games, like they were, like Alabama was on a big time roll, and to win two games in one night, like that, well done.
They both did it.
4-2, yeah.
I don't know the last time we've had a combined such a great day from two Texas sports institutions.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, they're able to beat the top seed, and they were down. You know, it's tied at 2, then they get up 4-2, then Alabama comes back, they tie it back up. They had to fight through a lot of adversity in that first game to force the second one. But this will be fun. Rematch of last year that Texas beat Texas Tech in. Now Tech does have a quality second pitcher, which they lacked last year. All the pressure was on Kennedy.
Yeah.
And offensively, they've just been awesome. But this was a crazy story as we continue with softball before we get into the top 10. And I do want to know your go-to ready-to-eat grocery store meals here on National Rotisserie Chicken Day, which is undefeated. Mm. And it will be number one on this list, spoiler alert. But Nebraska's Jordy Fromm pitched in the Women's College World Series while pregnant. She just announced today her and her boyfriend are having a baby. She is now expecting, but she was crushing it. She's basically like the Ohtani version in softball, where she is a dynamite pitcher. She was the player of the year. She had multiple 20 home run and 20 win seasons as a pitcher and a hitter. This past year, she went 21-6 as a pitcher while hitting .403 as an average. First Division I pitcher in history with multiple 20 home run seasons and 20 win seasons. She was incredible. And she won a couple of championships at Oklahoma, then transferred to Nebraska. And she was dominant for Nebraska this year. Unfortunately, the Huskers fell in the tournament. But that's not something you're going to hear in any other sport.
No.
Pitching 3 months pregnant. That's an incredible accomplishment. And game one of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight, boys. It'll be the Vegas Golden Knights against the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm pulling for the Canes. Let's get Logan Stankoven a Stanley Cup. I do think the Golden Knights have a good chance of victory here. You're going to have a very rested Hurricanes group of VGK get sweeping through, beating Colorado there in four. So this is going to be a fun series overall. I hope this one goes seven.
How about travel for this thing?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Vegas opposite to Raleigh.
Coast, yeah, 100%.
And we start to get to game, you know, if this thing goes seven, wow, that's going to be some serious travel on these cats.
When you got some, only eight players in the history of the sport have won a Stanley Cup and a gold medal in the same season. So you've got Golden Knights players Jack Eichel and Noah Hanifin who are trying to accomplish that, and then Jacob Slavin of the Carolina Hurricanes. They each won gold on the Team USA team.
When's the last time? 1980?
Yeah, it had to be. That's the last time the U.S. won gold, unless there's a Canadian player. That's done that.
Oh, this is a good point. Yeah,
this is just this is just in total.
But I was thinking of American-born players.
It's been since Montreal maybe that you've had a Canadian team even win the Stanley Cup. So it's been at least 25 years.
Yeah, it's been a while
since the last time that happened. But there's that. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about, we didn't get to this yesterday, but TMZ kind of did Adrian Beltre a little dirty. Did you guys see the headline that he wants Wander Franco back in Major League Baseball? And that's not really what he said. If you go back and look at this, he said, quote, "It's a sensitive situation, but I believe that everybody has a second chance. MLB is really strict about these things. It's just a sensitive situation. I don't really know enough about it." Ooh. So that was Adrian Beltre's comment regarding it. And then they kind of ran with the headline that he's like, basically cheerleading for Wander Franco to get back into Major League Baseball.
Well, we have to be able to think for ourselves. And there is a massive echo chamber right now that Wander Franco victimized this young girl. And that because he did that, he should be thrown in jail and never allowed to be in sports ever again. But if you go back and read what was said in court, the mom tricked him into sleeping with her daughter. He is not a predator that was out looking for underage women or girls. He was kind of a victim. And it's unfortunate because in this era that we live in that is, you know, understandably
quick to judge,
raising the stakes on human trafficking and predator type of stuff. Like, we should be really strong going after Epstein files people, right? But we're not. Instead, we're pretending that Wander Franco is Jeffrey Epstein and that he should never be allowed in baseball. Adrian Beltre is dead balls on right in this situation, but nobody wants to let it breathe and actually have a full investigation of the facts. They just want to believe that the story hasn't evolved from what we saw when it first hit the news, Wolchuk.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, we do kind of live in a society now where you'll see or read one thing, or you'll just see a clip of 30 seconds, and you kind of base your entire assumption off of that, and that's not really fair. I think that we do need to do a deeper dive and really kind of educate ourselves, have a better standing of every certain situation before we make a final conclusion.
You know, it's hard to tell. Right now, my daughter is going into her sophomore year. It's hard to tell her apart from girls that are going into their senior year. And it can be hard to tell them apart from a 20-year-old, you know? So if the mom is telling you she's of age because she wants you to do this so she can then blackmail you.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a tough situation. And I'm not surprised that the players in that Players Association are kind of standing up, or at least not doing the full fire-breathing dragon on Wander Franco.
Yeah. And we'll see what Major League Baseball decides moving forward regarding, him and if he's ever able to come back and play.
Gavin Spittle just texted us and said, Jeff Carter and Drew Doughty of the LA Kings won gold Canada.
Thank you so
much.
And
then the Stanley Cup for the LA Kings in 2014.
Boom. There's the hockey hot Gavin Spittle, Drew Doughty, and Jeff Carter. Shout out to you, Spitzy. Make sure you're checking out Spitz and Suds.
The only American to do it from 1980 was Ken Morrow.
Okay.
So.
Boom. And we did get word from Elliot Friedman yesterday that $14 million a year is what Jason Robertson's looking for. And I don't think there's any way the Stars are going above 12. So it sounds
like. Do they even have 12 to give?
I think 12, yes.
Okay.
14, I don't think so. And 12, I believe, is what Mikko Rantanen's getting. And like Robo, I love you, man. I think Robo could be the next captain. If you listen to him with Jared on the pregame show, like super well spoken, like to me, that guy won me over. And he's incredible on the ice. But at the same time, it's like, dude, I don't know that you can go that high for Robo. So they seem to still be very far apart in contract negotiations. I'm interested to see how this ends up playing out over the summer.
Didn't McDavid get – McDavid didn't even get 14, did he?
I don't think so.
It's a must
12
trade.
And a half. He it's got a, $12.5 million. That's McDavid.
I mean
– it's a lot.
He's a good scorer.
He is.
Yeah.
And I do think he got better as a two-way player.
He's got Todd France as an agent, huh?
I think he switched to the same representation as like Wyatt Johnston. So like this,
no,
this
I was just saying that in a way that, like that the, France goes for the 60, you know?
That's true. No, Todd France, I mean, he's still laughing at the rest of the league for what they did with the quarterbacks' contracts there. All right, top 10 here. Best ready-to-eat meals at the grocery store on National Rotisserie Chicken Day. And gosh, you got to love that grab-and-go rotisserie chicken. When you're going to the grocery store, you need something ready. Just outside of the rotisserie chicken, is there? What's the first thing you're grabbing?
At a grocery store?
I mean, honestly, I think Lucius is probably our correspondent for this.
I got something.
That's my daily.
Yep. I'm about to say. I mean,
I'm at the Tom Thumb Deli daily.
Ooh.
It's like half off during the week.
Yeah.
Not on Fridays, but the rest of the week, half off,
deals.
Bro. And I like a Kroger's chicken, Kroger's fried chicken in their deli.
All right.
Thank you. How about the potato wedges?
Let's go.
The potato wedges rock. You know, I mean, it's usually some kind of chicken potato wedge situation if I'm going with the ready-made Kroger or, you know, just grocery store deal if we're not doing the rotisserie.
Mm-hmm. I wish I was – wish I had back all the money I spent on sushi at a grocery store.
I do usually dabble in the sushi.
Okay, that's a good call. I forgot
H-E-B
that.
H-E-B now has, like, and Kroger's got the people making it, too.
It's – yeah, and usually I will – if they don't have it, I'll ask the guy to do it. I'll wait. I'll go shop and tell him what I want, push a basket around, and come back.
Wow.
And he'll have it prepped.
That's amazing.
You know?
Look at
So, yeah, I gave up the Chinese buffet to pick up
the sushi habit.
The sushi habit at grocery stores, which is really, really
I do it too.
It's good.
It's not good.
I mean, it's good. I mean,
yeah, you got to notice the specific grocery stores to go to. Like
exactly.
Kroger's a good one, and then HEB is.
They've got somebody
Tom
back
Thumb,
there doing
bad.
It. I always like, hey, he's like, well, let me make you one, and I'll give him what I want, and they'll prep it, and you come back around, and it'll be ready for you.
I mean, if I love sushi, I think that might be the top thing you could get beyond the rotisserie chicken, of course. But for me, I think a lot of the delis or the little bakeries have great chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
If I'm hungry and I'm walking in, I'm thinking that or donuts usually.
Yeah, Lucius is absolutely right because you could get the chicken strips with two sides of stuff.
Yeah.
And they make that food with some love back there.
I like those meals they already have put together, like it's enchiladas or maybe like
a heat up situation.
Yeah, you heat them up 15 minutes, come back, you feed the whole family. It's just
nothing against our group at Eatsies. Mm-hmm. Eatsies will do the same.
They I love Eatsies.
Some high end meals, some high end guys on this stuff. But yeah, but these grocery stores kind of they do the quality. Not the quality of what Eatsies is, but they're trying. They're trying to get there with those heat up meals.
I mean, Tom Thumb's got a pretty solid meatloaf that's ready to go.
Yeah,
that I've dabbled in a couple
Eatsies
of times.
Eatsies my favorite place.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Eatsies.
I wish we were close to it again.
Yeah.
It was right by the old station. Number 10 is your pre-made sides. You know, your mashed potatoes, the mac and cheese, roasted veggies. Usually, you got the hot deli sides, or they've got refrigerated as well that you can pair with whatever you're getting. Number 9 are your individual or combo packs. They've got the high protein options. If you want that, you can get the hard-boiled egg, the cheese sticks, the meat snacks as well. They've got the deli soups that you can grab. And number 8, pizza by the slice. And number 7, Central Market does a pretty solid, and Whole Foods, pizza by the slice.
I think Whole Foods salad bar is really good.
It's a big one.
And it's good. And then they've also got the bar where you can get the olives and stuff like that if you're just interested in those kinds of things.
6 is your protein boxes or your yogurt parfaits, your Greek yogurts that you can get. Those are more of your breakfast options if you want to grab and go.
Got to check the date on that stuff, too. You don't know when that yogurt might be a little old.
Yeah.
Go to the back. If you grab from the front, they usually put the older variety up front. Look at the back, check
the date.
You
get the fresher one?
Yeah, you get the fresher one.
Cocktail shrimp on that list?
The cocktail shrimp is...
I get the cocktail shrimp from Tom Thumb sometimes.
Which is...
It's for like $6. I'm like,
with
cool.
With the platter? With the cocktail sauce in the middle?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, yeah? All right.
Yeah, that's number 4.
It's already peeled, right?
You've got your cocktail shrimp, but also you can do your...
It's damn near the only shrimp I eat.
Your fruit trays as well are on here. You can get your ready-to-eat fruit.
Yeah.
The sushi is number 5.
Yeah.
With Publix, HEB. Tell you what, Publix, the pub subs...
The pub subs
are undefeated.
It's supposed to be one of the most legendary...
Oh, we got pubs, Publix in Texas?
They're in Florida, but the last
that's
time I went
saying.
To Florida, I did the pub sub.
I was doing
the
Lion King
one.
Was another one, or Lions King, or... There was the one... Lions something. It was a Florida
there
deal.
There was a Lions food market. I think
Foods,
we did have
I said
one
Lions
here.
King. What am I doing?
I remember that's Food Lion. Movie.
Food Lion. That's
Food
what
Lion.
I'm
okay. That's
Lion. Yes.
The Lions
I was like,
King.
I was, yeah, I was whatever, something, yeah.
Your sandwiches, wraps, and subs come in at number two, but number one is indeed the rotisserie chicken as your number one
that's
ready-to-eat meal.
That's not healthy
meal.
For so versatile. It at all.
Is it it's actually, amazing. It's actually not
it's,
healthy for
it's,
you?
It's in all. Like a plastic bag. You know, it's like a getting hot all the microplastics and the amount of ingredients they're using.
The sodium's crazy in it.
Yeah, I think they're shooting those things up
they
to
are.
Plump them
probably
up.
They are, man. Yeah. But they're delicious. I mean, I used to hammer those. When they were like $5 a pop, it used to be $5. Hot and ready, rock and roll. Dude,
yeah,
you got an entire
ranch.
Is that how the plastic got down in the lower area on you, eating all those
that's
chickens?
That's how I got micros.
I mean, I love making quesadillas out of that. I'll pick one up on like a weekend and make quesadillas for 3 nights out of it for the kids.
Yeah.
The salads you can do. Like, it's versatile.
They've got chicken already kind of chopped up. They've got like if you go to the
oh they already got the shredded
they've
version.
Already got it shredded
they sure do
they
rotisserie
got it.
Chicken
now,
shredded
now,
up.
Yeah. Dawson you're gonna have to take an eighth job that you already have to pay for it but yeah that's what they do
there's nothing at the store under $8 now last year it was nothing under $6 now it's $8
you get if you have 4 bags of groceries you're in the $135 range right off the jump.
Okay, move over Luka. Was that the end of the list? Yes, it was. Move over Luka. Was this Mavs mess up actually the biggest fail in franchise history when it comes to letting guys go? We'll talk about that. Maybe get you some Cowboys news coming up on the other side. And then football fix at 3 o'clock. We're back here.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the G-Bag Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
I had Broadus getting out of his beanbag in my corner of my eye right here. I'm trying to stay focused the whole time.
I got a little upset. I was trying to work on my master tickets. It's that time of year that you get to put in for the lottery. And then I couldn't get out of the beanbag because I was working on the Masters tickets.
So, I was just trying to guess what color of red you're going to be when you try to get up.
Sorry about that, Luce. I didn't mean to be that way about it. Yeah.
What do you call that technique for getting out?
It's what the sea lions do at SeaWorld when they get up on the deck and they throw a bunch of fish in their mouth and go back in the water. That's what it's called. Just kind of, it's kind of like I'm on fire. I roll on the ground and then try and pop up.
That's what I thought. It's kind of a strop, drop, and roll situation.
I'm kind of feeling like I'm going to blow my Achilles doing this sometime, though. That chair is so comfortable.
I can't believe you haven't slipped a disc.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
Fat people do not pull muscles. I'm talking about that.
Sure, you can't pull fat.
All right, Tim Kalashaw, Morning News, asking today, is the finals prepare to get underway? And Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Is losing Jalen Brunson the biggest mistake the Mavs ever made? The Franklin injury attorney text line is open for you if you want to leave your name and city you're texting from. I think it's up there. You know, there's trading Luka, there's letting Steve Nash go, there's letting Jalen Brunson go. Is there anything else that compares? Maybe that's another good subject for the Mavs fans out there if you want to text in. But those are the three. How would I rank those? I don't think Jalen Brunson is the biggest loss of all time.
No, it's definitely still Luka. It's not even close.
Could he be number two? You know, was it a bigger brain dead decision? But the circumstances that led to it were just really tough for the organization to process.
Yeah, the whole thing was difficult, and I think just like looking at it just by itself, yes, losing Luka is worse, but you were ultimately able to get Flag out of that, even though it was unintentional. With the Brunson thing, it's just he leaves.
Yeah.
And there is no real silver lining to, but you ended up, like the domino effect didn't lead to anything awesome with the loss of Brunson.
Well, okay. But here's the domino effect for the Luka situation. Your GM's fired. Your head coach is fired. They're having to get rid of every single person that basically had anything close that resembled, okay, I was part of the Luka decision. Your entire fan base revolts right now. It's now broken. It's a fractured relationship between the city, between the team and their fans, all because of one move, and that's trading Luka Doncic. So I think all of that, when you look at every single layer and impact from the Luka move, it's not even close, despite the compensation and still even getting flagged, which was not part of that trade.
Right.
It ends up happening. But right. It's to me, that doesn't even factor in. So I still think the Luka decision is the worst in the history of the organization. But when you look back and it's like, wow, you had Luka and Jalen Brunson, who are two of the best players in the NBA right now. And 2 years ago, you were in the finals with one. And now Jalen Brunson's in the finals with the Knicks. Those probably are the top two. And I get your point. I mean, losing, and it, like, what did you get back for losing those guys? And ultimately, it comes down to right now, it's Max Christie and a first round pick.
A couple of them. That's, you get the future pick from the Lakers and the Wizards.
I guess. You got nothing for Jalen Brunson. And that goes back to when he was drafted initially and they botched the rookie deal for him, right? Yeah. They had like a year shorter on the deal than what they should have had.
Yeah, you know, I think more than anything, it was the beginning of the signs that Mark Cuban was not financially capable of running an organization anymore or owning an organization anymore. You know, because and he said it when he sold the team, like he didn't want his family to be the people that had to make tough financial decisions, letting players go, and then the entire world hates you. You know, as the owner of the team. So, you know, but Brunson was a late bloomer, and they had made like a final offer around midseason to Brunson. And then he leads you to have the upper hand against the Utah Jazz with Luka out. You're up 2-1 because Jalen Brunson is balling. And then he and his dad really wanted to go to New York.
Yeah.
Like it was the worst kept secret in the NBA for like 4 months. So after all of that, you know, you feel like maybe he doesn't want to be around. You feel like you've made him a very generous offer and said, this is our last offer. And then he goes off. And I would hope that an organization would be more flexible. Like, wow, we really didn't see that coming. That was, you know, an incredible breakout for a 26-year-old player to have who spent 4 years in college. And you're going to be a late bloomer now here in the pros. But I think, you know, between the negotiation, the late blooming factor, and then, you know, him and his dad wanting to go to New York, I kind of gave them a pass on it, even though at the time I was screaming, you got to give him what he wants, you know, because finding that second player. But I don't think it would have resulted in greatness with Luka and Brunson, do you? I think having those two guys on the court at the same time and the defensive liabilities that they would, like, I've taken a long time, but in this segment, I think maybe right now, Brunson might be the most overrated player in the entire league.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much success they would have had together just because of the defensive issues that would arise, but he would have still been an asset that you could have moved for something else.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
But in terms of criticizing the Mavericks, I mean, they didn't have the foresight to know that he was going to blossom the way that he did. And by the time you had that feeling after that playoff run, it was already pretty much too late because he wanted to go to the Knicks. So I don't criticize them hugely, but you think he's the most overrated player in the sport right now?
Yeah, I think he's a good scorer, you know, and he gets the ball a ton because there's not a lot of other guys who can create their own offense on that team. So I think it's a team perfectly built around him. Maybe the best roster construction around a small since the Allen Iverson 76ers, who also got to the finals in, you know, an era of the Eastern Conference that wasn't the most difficult to make it. But I don't want to take anything away from that. But you look back on Allen Iverson's supporting cast, and it's good defensive players, it's rim protectors, and then he gets to go out there and pretty much have a green light in any situation. But Jalen Brunson doesn't rebound. Like, they're compared to others, there's between 3 and 5 rebounds per game that somebody at his position could get. He's not an elite assist guy, What are we at? Six assists?
Seven.
Seven assists?
Seven assists, yeah, three boards a game.
There's two or three assists per game between him and the elite distributors and playmakers for others. I just think he's a great scorer on
a
team magnificently built around him.
Right, like that's in a depleted East. Yeah, I think the clutch factor has to be factored, and I do think he wins. Like, he won at Villanova. I mean, obviously, what you said about even when Luka was on the floor, he found a way to win for the Mavericks, and he did help change this culture with the Knicks where they were kind of laughable. I mean, I think all of us would look at the Knicks, and we were just waiting for them to ultimately just disaster to happen. And now he's gotten him to an Eastern Conference final, an NBA final. Like, I do think there's flaws in his game. I think you're right about that. But I think some of the intangibles that he brings to the table here, I don't know that I would say he's overrated. I do think there's some value that he brings outside of just scoring, the clutch factor. I think that he creates a belief and he makes teammates around him better.
Dallas Wings are not overrated. They blow out Seattle 79-56. Salute to the front office. Salute to the coaching staff as well for putting together a roster this good and snapping it into place. They're now 6-3, one game behind the Minnesota Lynx for the best record in the league. Beckers last night, 10-9-7. You had six players with 9 points or more, and Ozzie Aha James poured in 18. It's like four or five different players on any given night that can carry the load, and they just have quality all over the place. So I think we're about to be treated to a summer of very high level basketball. Maybe a run at the title.
Okay, really great point from a texter in the 945, going back to the Brunson stuff. It was the initial contract, his initial rookie contract, they gave him a straight four-year deal without adding the team option for the final year. Second-round picks typically get contracts with team options, and so it was sort of an oversight that meant Dallas could not retain him as a restricted free agent.
Yeah, they couldn't match. Yeah, I
would love to go back into that world in 2018 and figure out why didn't you give him the usual contract that second round players get.
Mark Cuban at that time was doing favors to players.
Okay.
You know, like, and it was
that's
weird.
What that feels like.
Dwight Powell, like, oh, well, we don't have anybody else that wants this contract, so we'll go back and give you even more. You know, it was weird, and maybe the Jalen Brunson thing was, you know, because they were a big fan of him and wanted to show how much they believed in him, you know, because it was, but they were the only team that did believe in him. You know, guy goes to the second round. There were a ton of teams that passed on him. So I think they deserve credit for recognizing that you know, he was capable of doing something like that. But I just don't think they had the money when it came time to pay him. We got a football fix coming up next. We'll check where you're taking it.
Yeah, let's do it. We do have some A.J. Brown talk as he is discussing the Jalen Hurts situation. Cover athletes and slippery slopes. That's next in the Nation.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.